And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hi, hello, how are ya? My name is Tom, this is James Knowles, my co-host for the night. Liz is recuperating from surgery. She's good. We're good. To our new listeners, welcome. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to the show. For everybody that's returning, thank you for coming back. We do appreciate it. Don't forget, please remember, like and subscribe. There's all sorts of benefits, tangible and intangible, that you'll get from doing it. Trust me, your soul will feel enriched. You'll be a better person. We're coming. I'm back. I'm back from my no electricity retreat in the high mountains of New Mexico. So everything feels weird to me. Soccer is new. I had to remember what balls were and what plays were, what a field looked like. But I think I got it caught up. James, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, my lack of electricity did not last as long as yours. I think that mine was only a couple of flickers due to the hurricane. So yeah. I did not have to come back from everything and remind myself, but I'm glad that I could join you to talk about the Sun, because I was able to take in the game on Friday and it was interesting. I think that there are a lot of positives to take away from the game, but there are also a lot of hmms, a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs to take away as well. So that's obviously all stuff that we're going to get into here, but it was interesting nonetheless, despite the scoreline.
Yeah. And I know we're biased as fans, but man, that was probably one of the more interesting 0-0 draws I've ever seen. A lot of hums, a lot of what ifs, a lot of what's going on, but that's kind of been the story of the season so far. And, we're a fresh team trying to get the pieces together, and it's happening slowly. We got our internationals in, keep racking up a couple more injuries. I know Brooke Denisic is now out injured. Couple other players, of course, Marchese is still recovering. So we're not the picture perfect, the ideal world, 100% Tampa Bay Sun. Who knows when we're going to be. The fact of the matter is we're hanging in strong, and 0-0 draw against the, what is at the moment still, Brooklyn's putting in a good shift, but 0-0 draw against the first place team in the league right now in Carolina Ascent. So can't be too upset.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there was plenty of positivity for us to take away from this.
You got to look at the positives when it comes to a goalless game. Honestly, right. you get bogged down pretty easily otherwise. You want to hop into the recap right now?
Yeah, let's get into it. So, Tom, your first note here, and I will say that it's funny to point out the vuvuzelas. Yeah. Apparently, they are making a comeback in multiple different places that I have seen. Yeah. Seems a little weird to pull a 2010 throwback all together in 2024, but that was an interesting sidebar. On the field, though, it did seem like there were a couple of players who were stepping into different places that we've actually seen from the last couple of games.
Yeah, absolutely, actually. Yeah, I know with those new players coming in, finally getting cleared for visa stuff, it's kind of been a storyline lately where we've freed up some of our players to play in more natural spots and let things kind of fall into places where they were. I can't remember names. Timrak. Timrak has stood out to me these past couple weeks because she's been allowed now to kind of switch the field entirely. She's up on the left side attacking, where we kind of had her back right earlier. And I think Talia Stoudé coming in has been a big part of the reason she's allowed to move up and create some chances. You're starting to see her more now, and she's making the impact you think we kind of expected out of her as a veteran. So the whole team is falling into place, but like I said, there's things that still aren't there yet. Tetris blocks in waiting still, as it would be, you know?
That's a good way to put it. I did like Timrak in this one. I think that one of the other things that was very interesting for me was we've obviously seen Jordan Listro play as a central midfielder who will step into the right back position. Yeah. And then the other thing that I saw this past game was very interesting. On the left side, Kristen Edmonds, the natural left back, was stepping into the midfield as well. So we had Listro stepping into the midfield or stepping back to the right back spot, and we had Edmonds stepping into midfield or back to the left back spot. So I guess the team was just trying to look at getting as many players as possible into the attacking positions, and that would depend on where the ball was. Obviously, when we had possession, otherwise we were all a little bit deeper, but in the first half, we had the ball a ton. It was actually something that I had my wife text me just to make sure that I didn't forget it. But the Tampa Bay Sun had over 70% possession in the first half.
Yeah.
That's wild. And especially against a team that seemed to be as well put together as Carolina Sent were ahead of this game.
Yeah.
They're obviously still top of the table, but they are looking good. So for us to be able to do that against this team, I think that that's really positive. And this does come down a little bit to us putting those players in different positions and allowing them, just like you said, take up the positions that they want, mm-hmm. give them a little bit more freedom probably, and allow them to move about where they want to go.
Yeah, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. But as soon as you mentioned it, I remembered it. The actual number was 72%, which I don't know if I've seen a number that high as far as possession goes at halftime without a goal going in.
Yeah, right.
You know, not to say the chances weren't there, but we're obviously, if you could watch that one game and say we're a possession-based team, but if you watched all the games this season, if you're following the team as closely as we are, you know that's what Coach Denise wants to do. She wants to hold the ball, possess, push these wingbacks in, up the field, invert behind, and kind of attack from the wings. I think I made a comment. I was watching the game with somebody, with Mike, and I said, you're never going to see the Tampa Bay Sun advance the ball through the center circle. like maybe over it, but never on the ground. It's a lot of along the side stuff, and it is kind of changing. It's promising that I think Denise is showing her chops as a coach, as it would be, because as the team grows, as the pieces change, and as we learn more about the other teams we're playing, she's adapting the way that we play. Previously in the season, I think we would kind of tilt the field towards the sideline a lot to really emphasize that push up the wings. And now I think you don't see that as much. You're still going up the wings, but the entire team isn't shifting as hard as they were earlier in the season, I noticed. And I think it's promising, because it's one thing to keep the ball in possession and kind of tilt things downfield like a roof. And it's another thing to start being able to bring that momentum downfield, downhill towards the other team's goal. And, you know, no goals, of course, obviously, but not for lack of trying, not for lack of chances. We were far and away more dangerous all game than Carolina. And they've played like every week, I'm pretty sure, of the Super League. So if you've got 72% possession against a team that's been playing week in, week out, has been winning games, drawing games, it's promising. And it kind of makes it all that much more painful to not come away with the point, 3 points. But on the road, Vuvuzela's blaring in your ears all damn night. It's a good sign that we're changing the way we want to operate while not totally upending what we want to do as a team with the possession.
Yeah. The only thing that I am interested to see, well, I mean, I'm obviously interested to see how it changes as the season goes by, because what we would like is to get more opportunities that then turn into real opportunities that actually lead to goals. Mm-hmm. I think that the vast majority of our chances in this game came from those kind of longer range pop shots, and they were good. But yeah, if we can get some more where we have had, like the game obviously against Lexington, that's of course what we would like to see every single week. It's a little harder. It's a little easier said than done, naturally. Right. But what I am really interested in seeing as well is the introduction of the last couple of players who were not available to us, and they are now available, and they are on the roster. They are actually on the bench for this last game. So those last couple of players being available is very interesting. They came off the bench in the second half, all of them mostly later on in the game, so they didn't have as big an impact as probably you and I were hoping, Tom. But at the same time, I think Natasha Flint being available is great. I think Cecilia Flo being available is great. They are going to push Riley Parker, and we need that up top. Unfortunately, yeah. Riley Parker has not scored through the six games that Tampa Bay has played. The team only has four goals overall, so goals is obviously one of the things that we are missing at the moment. And getting two international level strikers, I guess yeah. Flint hasn't played for England at the senior level, but that's a pretty tough team to break into. So
yeah,
either way, these are two quality strikers. And of course, there is the incomparable Jade Moore, who came off the bench as well. And I think having her, even in the locker room, even if she were injured and unavailable to play, which is not the case, but even if she were, she would still be a presence just in that sense. So this is all very positive. And how they will impact the possession setup that we have apparently been trying to instill so far in this early part of the season, that's going to be pretty cool to see.
Yeah, yeah, I'm glad you brought them up, because like you said, they did come in late and they looked like players who were new to a team. It's kind of the same feel you got out of the whole team for the first two, three games of the season until we played Lexington, basically. Everybody kind of looks really good against Lexington. I know Dallas popped in six against them. But yeah, those international players, they look a little disconnected from everybody else, as you could expect. You're not going to feel bad about that. But beyond that, they look a cut above everybody. Yeah. They look like really, really good soccer players. And so as soon as they're integrated and everybody knows where they're going to be, what they want to do, I think that's when the goals are going to start happening. It sucks coming here week in, week out and say, yeah, I think if this happens, this is where the goals are going to come from. But every week it is positive. I there's that quote going around from Lister about, oh, we get better every week. We just got to start putting the ball in the back of the net. And yeah, that's the sport, you know, but it's there. We are getting better, not just because we're getting better as a team, because we're getting coached to do the right things, because our players are learning each other, but we're getting better because we're getting better players in, and they're bringing the entire level up. You don't get better without playing against better players, and so having them in practice is huge. It pushes everybody to try harder. I know Riley desperately wants a goal. You can yeah. see it. She's starting the game with her jersey untucked already. Like she used to go all 90 minutes with that thing tucked in. She's shifted gears. So to have those players now, Flint, Cecily, Moore, that's as soon as they actually integrate and lock in, I think it's going to be really dangerous. I really hope so, at least. Because yeah, those, they really are a cut above. England national team caps, Denmark national team caps. Nobody else is playing with the loaded hand that yeah. we have once all the synergy's there. So yeah. It's just a matter of it getting there.
Yeah, and in the meantime, though, we do obviously have all of the players that we have had from the beginning, and there were a couple that you noted as standing out in this one, so I wanted to bring those up. Yep. Carly Giamona, Wasila Diworosawale in the center of the midfield. Those were two important players for us. Sydney Nacello, who kind of has free range at times.
Yeah. Yeah. She'll be on the left, she'll be on the right.
Yeah, she can go wherever she wants as long as she sees that there might be an opening that she can dribble into. So these are all pretty important players to our attack. And yeah, I wanted to lead into that and just let you take it from there, because I think that these are all each week we see different new little facets to their game.
Yeah.
And I think this is another situation where as soon as they can put it all together, it's going to be a very deadly combination.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a matter of growing into it. Absolutely. I constantly impressed by Giamona. You saw it the first game, she went off with injury and nothing clicked. And then the next, every other game since then, she's been a really important part. When she has the ball, it looks like everything tilts for her. She looks like a linebacker hitting a gap to like tackle a running back. She's going straight down. And nobody latches onto her. At least Carolina didn't. And I don't know if that's because they're respecting her as a passer if they're worried about the other pieces, you know, you got a dribbler in Nocello she can lay off to. She can pull it back, give it to Wasilla, switch the field. There's a lot of things going on there. But she had a really, really good opportunity really early in the game. She got right up against the Carolina line. They weren't willing to engage her. And she played a ball in that just didn't quite click. And again, half second, you know, it's those sort of things that are going to happen with her. Wasilla, of course, is so important to us, the connective tissue of our midfield. You can see it later in the game. She came off, and that's when things started to feel less like 11 soccer players playing as one team and was more 11 soccer players out there wearing the same jersey. Because she just brings it all together. She's not perfect. Nobody on the team's perfect. Nobody in the league's perfect. Nobody is perfect. So she'll have moments where she maybe gets a little rushed, plays a ball in that wasn't, you know, goes to the other team, but she jumps right back on it. You know, a lot of players will hang their head, jog back. She doesn't do that. She darts right to the ball. Yeah. Nocello, like you're saying, she's everywhere. She's kind of got the ability of like, I've been watching a lot of American football lately. She's got the abilities of like a quarterback that a coach trusts, where she can go out there, see the field, read the defense, and do what she wants to do without having to check. If she thinks she has a matchup on the left side, she moves to the left side. Mm-hmm. If the matchup is there on the right, she's there on the right. The fact of the matter is she is the best dribbler in the USL Super League. So wherever she's going to find the weak point, whoever she wants to pick on that game, she's going to do it. And she'll burn you 99 times out of 100, I think. So really dangerous. Those are kind of the important parts of our offense going forward. I also got to shout out Talia Stouty. I'm a big Stouty head. The way she's able to overlap on the right side is a real different look. We kind of like to attack and connect passes up the left side, maybe look for Parker on a long run. But it seems like a lot of the times things end up looking for Talia making a late run on the far post. Like that's kind of a constant fallback game plan. If you get the ball far up, nobody's making a late run, kick it to the right, I'm sure Talia's running up, you know? So our offense is coming together, and that's hard because there's so many more moving pieces to offense. And I say this as a defender, grew up playing defense, play goalie now. There's a lot of moving parts to offense. So to get things to click, it takes a lot of communication, takes a lot of chemistry, a lot of knowing each other. And so that's coming together. It's coming together. That's like, if you can put, you know, a motto for the team, it's coming together. Don't worry. And that's what it is on offense. Defensively, I think we're getting that figured out. I was pretty worried early in the season about the defense, especially on the wings. And I think that was just trouble kind of implementing what Denise wants to do with the wingbacks going so far up. But it's working now. We've got, I think, maybe the best center back pair in the league in Bissett and Hendricks. Because statistically, Hendricks is sitting on 380 completed passes, Bissett on 360, and that's 1-2 in the league. Bissett's a monster. She's a shithouser. She'll knock you down. She'll sit on the ball. She'll kick it away. She'll get in your face. And Hendricks, meanwhile, is just going to drop, you know, 40, 50 yard dots downfield, which getting a little ahead of myself, but it's something that I think we're going to see today against DC, because I think they're a little vulnerable to those long passes. But we've got the offense coming together. The midfield may be lagging behind when it's not Wasilla in there, but the defense, we're locking in and we're getting more pieces every week. It seems like literally every game somebody is like, oh, great, they're here now. And look, they've gotten so much better. So, you know, little things, good faith. You can't be too upset about where we're sitting in the table.
Yeah, no, I think Bissett and Hendricks are really good to highlight because obviously Hendricks has an extensive professional career at this point. She has a large body to draw on when it comes to trying to determine what is the best thing to do in any given situation. Yeah. I think Bissett has obviously not as much of a career to draw on, but at the same time, she has the confidence of her coach and they have worked together before. So Denise Shilty Brown will know how to give her directions if she ever needs to take further directions than what she's doing. Yep. So I think the two of them have come together in a way that is really positive for the Tampa Bay Sun. At the if you can get anything settled out, and this is your inaugural season, your first couple of games, this is going to be our seventh game as a team. We have to keep that in mind as we move forward. You know, it's very difficult to get anything together that early on. So the fact that probably the most fundamental part of the team, the two center backs, are working together in tandem all the time, and they really don't look like there is something that's wrong in between them, that they are not understanding each other already, that's extremely positive. The rest of it can come together, but if we are not together already as a defensive unit, that's a big problem. So I think the more that Listro is able to adapt to her new position of a defender slash midfielder, and now Kristen Edmonds doing the same as a defender slash midfielder, they always have the two rocks at the back that are going to be, depending on which one you're talking about, either to their right or their left. So yeah, that's really good to see. And I'm personally, obviously, very happy with that part of it.
Yeah, they're so solid together that it does open everybody else up and give them that freedom to go forward to become that pseudo midfielder. Even if you're a defender in name, if you line up in the back four, when we've got the ball, it's always a back two. I was just watching DC. They've got the ball. They've got numbers upfield, and they've got three players sitting behind the midline. They got their center back, and they got a left center back and a right center back, and that's something that frees us up where we can have one extra player to try and get that overload.
Yes,
they look so good together. There's so many times where in the last game Carolina got that turnover somewhere in the midfield or picked off a pass and started. They like to attack pretty quickly. They like to attack through the middle, kind of, you know, it's not route one soccer, but it's damn near close to it. And they want to go straight up the middle and get there quick. And they get that kind of one-on-one, one-on-two, three-on-two at some points. They had three forwards coming up against our two center backs. And the way they shade the ball carrier to one side and wait until the last possible moment and boom, stick that foot in. Probably happened 3, 4, 5 times in that pass game against Carolina, where they shaded, they covered the passes, they covered the alleys where you don't always necessarily have to be right in the pocket of the person you're covering. You can be covering one person, and then you can have somebody else behind you, and that's covering them as well. And the two of them do such a good job of being in the right spot and waiting until right before the box to throw in just like a perfectly timed little toe poke challenge. And it keeps happening, and I think that's why we haven't seen so much out of Orcus lately, is because the center backs have come together. You know, it's not like Orcus isn't great. She's not making saves when we need her to, but we don't need her to as much anymore, and that's a really promising sign. Like, I can sit here and toe the company line about, oh, it's coming together, but the fact of the matter is, when your goalie's making less saves than they used to and still getting the clean sheet, that's... nobody can disagree that that's a really, really good sign.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm happy with the game. You know, it's you always want 3 points, but it's away on the road, Vuvuzela night against the top team in the league that's been playing together. So to do what we got to do, go up there, 0-0 draw. That's something I think people should take notice, especially when a lot of teams around the league are starting to figure out how to score goals. We're not seeing those 1-1 draws, 2-2 draws, 0-0s so much anymore like we did early in the season. It's kind of weird to say. I mean, we're a quarter of the way into the season, really, basically, at this point. It's I'm happy, bro, to come back home to that and see my team play that way. I'll take it any day of the week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you want to do our players of the matches, right?
I think that's the next best thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to give the shout out to Brooke Hendricks, to Henny, because like I'm saying, if your goalie out here is barely having to do anything, you're coming away with the 0-0, coming away with the clean sheet. You're working so hard with Bissett, with your partner in the center back, You're making the long passes happen. That's one of my favorite things about Brooke Hendricks, is not just her defensive acumen, her intelligence, her ability to read a play as it's happening, as it's coming at her, her ability to cover two players at once. It's the fact that she can take a ball, boot it 40 yards down the field, right where it needs to go, right on somebody's cleat, right on their laces, or right into the open space. It's a weapon offensively. So you've got two center backs, everybody else ahead, and the one center back is one of the most dangerous passers in the league. So that opens up a lot of options for everybody else to kind of get free up there, for Nacella to find out where she wants to be, for Parker to make the long run, for Talia Stoudy to come in late. It all happens a lot of the times with the Tampa Bay Sun because Brooke Hendricks is making a defensive play with her partner Viv Bissett and then banging a long ball way over the top of everybody where they can't get it. She's kind of been an unsung hero for us, obviously scored our first ever goal. But man, when you got 380 passes, it's 20 more than the next best person, and the next best person is your best friend on the field. That's incredible. So I'm out here finally singing the praises of Henny.
Well, there you have it. I went with a different choice, a little bit higher up the field. So my choice for player of the match, this one was Wasila Dewura-Sowale. Mm-hmm. I think that she is a player who has been another kind of an unsung hero for the team, because she is a player who I don't think she has stopped running since she got here. I think that she might run in her sleep for all I know. Yep. she is like an Energizer bunny out there. It's crazy. But she is, it's not just aimless running, of course. Yep. It's all with a purpose, and with her adding to the defensive side of things, obviously that's very important, but she is also a connector now, and she's adding that a lot more to her game than she was, I would say, in the first couple matches that the Sun played. We have seen her become more of a facilitator as well, because you can always do the running defensively and you can make up all of the room when we're out of possession. But when we're in possession, when we're getting 70% possession against the Carolina Ascent, then yeah, we need more connectors at that point. So The fact that she has added that to her game a little bit more as each new game has gone by, I think that we're going to see her even more in this upcoming match as that type of role, especially because I think we might have probably not 70% possession at the end of the game, but I think that we have an even better chance against DC Power, because as we're going to get to, they are not the same level opponent as the Ascent. Yeah. So that's what I'm looking for. Well, again, that is one of the things that I'm looking forward to as we move along.
Yeah. 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 Wasila is one of those players that it's not like you don't notice her when she's out there, because she's running her ass off, she's making plays, but you really, really notice her when she's not there.
Exactly. That's a great way to put that. Mm-hmm.
And again, it's great to that's when you're looking at a 0-0 game, you're looking for those unsung players, because there's no bangers going in. Orcas didn't have to come up with any big saves. You're looking for the players who are doing everything right and have been doing everything right for the past six matches. So we're moving on. We all got surprised. It's a good surprise, right? It's always nice to find out your team's playing sooner than you think they are. is the glass half full way of looking at this.
There we go.
But yeah, evidently last Monday, this kind of flew under everybody's radar. Last Monday, DC Power had some announced they're doing the DC Power thing. They got some issues with their ground. They ground share with DC up at Audi Field there. So they had to move the game that was going to be this Friday, just move it up 2 days to Wednesday, October 2nd. So Wednesday, October 2nd at 6:30 p.m., the Tampa Bay Sun are playing DC Power. And there's a watch party at Colony Grill Midtown, right off the interstate in Tampa. So nice place. I've been there before. But yeah, we got DC, not the same caliber. Different style of play than Carolina. Carolina likes to hit that counterattack, and it's something, thank God we got the two center backs we do to stifle that. But DC wants to possess the ball a little bit more, just like we do. Especially from what I can tell, they like that possession on the wings. They like to pass it around, ping it around on the wings. Kind of, again, similar to what we like to do. We I think we kind of advance it a little bit more, but they will get the ball stuck in on the wings and then serve it in on a cross. But I think it's a good matchup for us, not necessarily stylistically, but just based off who's out there. They've had a lot of trouble connecting. There was a lot of talk about their striker, Jorian Balcom, coming into this league. Early Golden Boot favorite. She's going to be one of the greatest. She's got one goal so far in the season. Yeah. I think they've scored three goals all season,
Three goals total, yep.
Yeah, and two of those were just this past game against Spokane off of penalty kicks by their defender, Madison Wolfbauer.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, each of those penalty kicks was awarded following a handball by a Spokane defender in the box. So obviously you have to think, how rare does that happen in a game? How rare does that happen twice in a game?
Twice,
but
yeah.
You can't rely on that to get you consistent goals over the course of a season.
Yeah, yeah. If you're DC, you're happy with the draw. But again, that's against a Spokane team that had to travel all the way across the country, across four time zones. I think the commentary said they had a 4 a.m. flight to get out to D.C., which, God, I hope we get some West Coast teams next season just for Spokane's sake, because having to do that as often as they're having to do that, that just getting through the season, I'm going to be proud of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can't rely on penalty kicks. You got to get your striker going, and they haven't gotten their striker going. It's not happening for DC the way they want it to. They look sloppy as all get out when they're challenging corner kicks. They look sloppy as all get out a lot of the times. But they got punched in the mouth in the second minute. It was nasty. Spokane had about four shots that got blocked by the goalie, got blocked by a defender, a header off the bar. It was a mess. They had some trouble settling into a game, which is really concerning at home against a team that just traveled since 4 a.m. across 4 hours worth of time zone difference. So if you're Fred Briant, you got to tell the team to step up, but you can't play the game for them. And they're barely playing the game for themselves at this point. You know, they're no Lexington, but yeah, it's concerning if you're DC so far.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that watching the Spokane game, I guess we should note that they played Spokane before that with a 1-0 loss. So that's an improvement in air quotes. Yeah. But it's still everything that you said was something that I remember, not necessarily from our second game where we played DC. But definitely in this one, Jorian Balcom is a good player, but she can't do it all on her own. And if she doesn't have the ball, that's a big problem, obviously.
She drew that first penalty by getting in between the two center backs, getting a nice, tasty long ball and getting in deep and forcing the issue. And the fact of the matter is, our two center backs they're not going to put themselves in that position where Jorian Balcom can exploit them or seek out the penalty, I don't think. So if you're not looking to draw a penalty and let Wolfbauer do her thing, that's the other thing I kind of notice is I do like a penalty kick taker who takes their kick strong. You know, I hate a guy who gets too cheeky with it and tries to chip or tries to go for a corner every time. You want to hit the ball hard. You're the kicker. You got the advantage. But the second one, man, Morgan Aquino, probably, second best goalie in the league after Orcus. For DC, Morgan Aquino, she got so much of the ball, and then it had like this crazy backspin on it
to
go across the line. So she's got those two penalty kicks. She's their leading goal scorer, but they weren't super convincing. So even if that's going to be your game plan where you want the penalty kick because the offense isn't working for you, I don't know that the penalty kicks are even going to go in against Orcus, a goalie who's saved the penalty kick this season against DC. You know, so if you're Fred Briant, head coach DC, looking at Tampa Bay Sun, we're probably a pretty tough nut to crack. He's probably up right now watching some game tape, I would say.
Yeah, I think that looking at their midfield, I was not convinced that I saw I didn't think that they really had a way to get through the midfield that we have constructed right now.
Right.
We obviously have Wasilla and Giamona sitting next to each other, kind of next to each other. Wasilla obviously goes wherever the ball goes, but Listro or Edmonds will step into the midfield to play as a more defensive partner to Wasilla when we are out of possession. So we just have all of these different players trying to clog up that area. And if they don't have, if they can't just kind of find Jurrien Bakum some magical way, I don't see how they're going to get it past us. And I've already said, I think Bakum is very dangerous, but she can't do it all on her own. Yeah. And it's just going to be very interesting to see how DC tries to beat us in this game. I'm really not sure that I don't know where to expect that to come from. I think that this is going to be a good one for Denise Shilty Brown to really try to do everything she can to make Tampa Bay Sun a more attacking force. I think that this is a great game, not to experiment, so to speak, but to focus on getting the attack going and getting us some chances and then getting us some goals.
Yeah, some confidence for players. Yeah, like you're saying, it's tough for DC to figure out how to break us. Whereas for us, I see the pathway for success. Spokane was getting a lot of good work. I think there was a kind of an issue for DC. They had Amber DiOrio on their left side as the left back, and she's typically traditionally more of a center back. And Spokane identified that and just went at her, started dropping passes to a really, really fast winger they had over there. And like, man, if that's going to be an option for us, if that's going to be available, you put Nacello on the right, you know, you let her go wherever she wants to go, but you put Nacello on the right, let her get a couple steps, beat one person and she's in. There's a lot of room for us to be able to do things against DC where I don't quite see that. We've got the connectors in Giamona, in Wasilla. I was impressed not just by Bakum, but also by Grace Yango. For DC, she's the Cameroonian. She's got national caps for that team. But she doesn't look like she's a connector. She doesn't carry the ball up the field. She doesn't drop back to help defensively as much as a lot of our midfield does. But once she's up there, she's a force. She's aggressive. She's making smart plays. She looks like a true veteran with World Cup experience because she is. She's trapping the ball out of the defenders. You know, she's a better defender than most defenders in this league are forwards. So she's going to win that a lot of the time. And then she's going to play confidently with the ball. She's going to turn towards her right. She's going to turn towards the goal instead of turning backwards and looking to recycle the ball. So that's where they're going to kind of get dangerous, is on that left side if Grace gets involved. But I think we're good over there, you know? I think Talia Stouty finds that out and sees it early. I think Hendricks moves in to help if Talia's too far up. Like I said, our center back pairing is coming together, growing into something really, really fruitful, really beautiful. So it's going to be super tough for DC to do what they want to do, if they're even sure exactly what it is they want to do at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and hell, for that matter, they got the most fouls and most yellow cards conceded in the entire league. So if that's not the sign of a frustrated team right there, I don't know what is. You know, we've grown a lot since that second game where we played them. I don't think they've grown as much as we have. I think we're going to be able to figure out what they're doing, what they were doing, what they want to do, a lot more than a rookie head coach. All respect to the guy, great player for DC, Denise Shilty Brown, probably laps Fred Briant as a coach.
Yeah, she obviously has not only the know-how as a coach, but in addition to that, she knows so many of the players that she's dealing with from prior years.
Yep.
And Fred Briant is going to be a good manager someday, but this first go-round, he's just coming off of being a player.
Yeah.
So,
and he's O'Neal Collins coming off being a player, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Like how much does he know in terms of locker room management?
Yeah.
And I'm sure the dynamics are different slightly between men's and women's locker rooms without having been a coach for anybody. I can't say for certain, but I'm sure it just does take a little bit of time to get yourself acclimated as a manager. So, like you said, I think that Shilty Brown can probably manage that situation, which is just being a manager, a little bit better. And I'm probably leaning towards us getting the most out of this one.
Yeah. And you're dead to rights about the not just the transition from player to coach, but the transition from dealing with men to women. Like I coach a girls' high school lacrosse team, and I know that a high school girls' lacrosse team isn't the same as a professional women's soccer team, but there's a lot of things differently about dealing with the way men play sports versus the way women play sports. And it's something you got to figure out as a coach. And so for his first coaching job, I think he might have done some academy stuff for DC, but those are kids, you know? So for your first coaching job to be women, it really is a whole nother thing you got to figure out. Not to say they're not pro athletes. They're not, you know, the zenith of their game and just as professional as any other man, because they are, but it is different. And even if it's something just in his head where he's like, oh, I got to treat them a little bit differently. You really don't. And maybe he's realizing that, maybe he's not. But again, first year as a coach, first year team, the players barely know each other. He barely knows the players, not the same way that Denise knows Viv and Sydney and a couple other girls, you know. Yeah. So it's definitely not the same thing. They're not going to be as intellectually agile as I think we are. Yeah. So it's we've got a pathway to success that they don't have, I think.
Intellectually agile. That's a good way to put it.
Thank you. Yeah. So, I feel pretty good about it. You want to drop in some score predictions?
Let's go for it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I want to be sure I know what I think. I feel great about it. I'm going out there. We're getting in 2-0. Tampa Bay Sun, 2 goals. I'm saying maybe... this is always the fun side quest for me. Like, it's easy enough to pick two numbers out of thin air, say 2-0. But I'm thinking maybe, say, Talia Stouty gets a goal off of Talia the Stallion Stouty gets a goal off of, say, like, Sydney DeCello causing some sort of issue on the left side because she wants to be wherever she wants to be. And then I don't know, a Jamona from distance for the second goal. Let's go with that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I guess we have all gone with wins in this one. Liz has also gone with a win, a 1-0 win. Producer Eureka has chosen a win, a 2-0 win. Yep. And I went with a 2-1 win. So, all very good around here. And I think that we're all obviously feeling the same way roughly about DC. So that's positive with us going into this one. All right, cool. Well, Tom, we have one big thing that is, I mean, there are a couple more things that are left on the docket here, but there's one giant thing that is on the docket.
Huge.
So let's jump into this.
Yes. The big thing, the thing we've all been waiting for, the goofy split season is less split now because we have the second half. The 2025 USL Super League spring schedule just dropped today for everybody. So we do know now that after the break, the last match of the fall is Saturday, December 14th against Spokane at home. And then we are off for the second half of December. We're off all January. We're off the first half of February. We come back the day after Valentine's Day, Saturday, February 15th at Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. So the spring season will start February 15th at Dallas. And that will run all the way from February 15th to the last match of the regular season, May 24th at home against DC. So now we know it's a nice schedule. We get everybody 4 times, twice home, twice away. Start making your travel plans now. Maybe that last game up at Carolina, May 17th, the last away game, you know, some time to put some money away. But we've got the entire schedule now. We just got to figure out kind of when the playoffs are going to be. But I'm not so worried about that yet. We got the whole schedule. We got everything figured out. The league is super real now. So how do you feel about the spring schedule? I mean, we're a quarter of the way through season. We got the other 3 quarters to look forward to. What do you think?
I mean, I'm just happy that it's out because I wasn't sure exactly when it was going to start. I didn't know what the winter break was going to be, because a winter break means a lot of different things in a lot of different places. You have to worry about stuff like that in Canada, Minnesota, places like that. Florida, we need a summer break.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that it's going to be really interesting once it actually starts getting a little cooler here. We're going to have some nice games to host, and apparently we'll still have some nice games to host coming through February. That's great to see. Once we get into, the last game that we'll have on the schedule right now is May 24th. So that is just about summer, obviously. And, yeah. I'm just interested to see not only all of the things that I've mentioned in terms of how the team is going to shape up by then and all that stuff, but, there's a lot of change that's going to happen for this team in the off season, for this whole league in the off season, or not the off season, excuse me, the close season. So this winter, but I am just really excited to see exactly what everything shapes out to be come May, because I think that when we were looking at what this whole league was going to start with, and some of the teams didn't have a full roster or whatever, almost all of that has been fixed by now. Almost all of it.
Almost.
So,
yeah.
There are one or two things that I'm sure a couple of teams would point to, but
for Lauderdale,
at least Tampa Bay Sun, everything is taken care of. So that's positive. By May, I think that we're going to have a really great idea of what the USL Super League feels like and what it's pointing towards. That's going to be cool.
Yeah, I think something that's going to be pretty interesting during that winter break is the end of the NWSL season. You know, we're in a unique position as it's just 28 games, but it's super long with that 2-month break in the middle. And the fact is that late November, there's the end of NWSL. Free agent contracts are up, new players available on the market. It gives teams a chance in the middle of their season to evaluate where they're at, see if maybe they can snipe some MWSL players that aren't on a roster.
Yep.
For those first couple months, I'm not sure exactly when the NWSL season will start back up, but there's a good chance we could see some players who, you know, may have traditionally gone to Australia or somewhere else where they could keep playing during the NWSL offseason, say, hey, maybe I hop on with one of these hot Super League teams and see where that gets me. So that's going to be super interesting to me, is to see what the transfer market looks like, both domestically with the NWSL season and internationally, because we do, of course, line up the European calendar. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that works out, I think. I would give up those early season August home games if it meant we got more like November, December home games.
Yeah.
God, those first two games were maybe the hottest I've ever been in my life. So we got that. The whole league's together. We're all ready. I just want to kind of look around the rest of the league real quick. And I know we're not the only two teams playing games, DC and Tampa Bay, DC and TV. I do want to give a special shout out and make sure everybody is aware. Starting October 16th, the U.S. U17 women's national team will be playing in the World Cup for the U17s. We're in a group with Spain, Colombia, and Korea Republic. All games are on FS2, and we will be cheering our brains out for a Carolina Ascent player, actually. Miss Molly Vapensky. She has 6 caps already for the U17 team, which is more than any other goalie they've got on the roster. I would probably anticipate her being the starter. And she's been working in practice up there in Charlotte under Megan McClellan, the starting goalie there, who's been really solid, obviously just pitched a shutout against us. So Molly Vapensky, the U17 women's national team, best of luck coming up soon against Spain, Colombia, Korea Republic. And then we got the power rankings. We love the power rankings. They're super goofy. I can get real mad at the power rankings every week. It's easy to do. It's fun for me to do. I'm going to start doing that right now. I'm not mad about the power rankings. I'm not mad about where the teams are. I am mad at Brooklyn for being so good. You guys, problems after problems, not having a coach, nowhere to play, started weeks late, had a game delayed. They come out and they're like super really good at this. It's not fair. What the hell?
Yeah.
I'm mad at Brooklyn. I'm not mad at the league. I'm just mad at Brooklyn.
Yeah, I was certainly not expecting it. I'll throw myself in that same camp.
Yeah. 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 So it's Brooklyn, Carolina, Fort Lauderdale, the top three. Fort Lauderdale, an interesting team, not just because they're our local rivals, but they've only played four games, and two of those have been against Lexington and DC, who not really the cream of the crop there. So, like, yeah, you got the current Golden Boot leader with five goals with Addie McCain, but you're playing Lexington. They gave up six to Dallas. So, you know, they play Brooklyn this Sunday, which will be interesting. It's going to tell us a lot about who Fort Lauderdale is. Probably more about who Fort Lauderdale is than who Brooklyn is.
Yeah.
And it's Fort Lauderdale's home opener, which also got delayed, too. Kind of a minor storyline of the season, unfortunately. But besides that, Carolina at Lexington, that's going to be a romp for the Ascent, unfortunately. Dallas for Spokane should be a good game. I think that should tell us a lot about those two teams because Spokane's been solid, but Dallas is kind of, you know, six goals a couple weeks ago. That's, I know it's Lexington, but six goals, really good. So good weekend group of matches. If I could have picked, you know, four games, these may be the four games I'd want to see the most at this point in the season.
Yeah, I think that just like you said, there's a lot to learn about very certain teams, and these appear to be pretty good environments for that to happen. And one of those in particular is our in-state rival, our Derby rival, and hopefully when we get down there, a team that we can beat in Southern Florida.
Yes, get on the bus. If you're following us on Instagram, I think the Google form to sign up for the bus is on there. If you're in the Heatwave Discord, I know for sure that the Google form to sign up for the bus is on there.
Yep.
We got to go down there to their little Connect-A-Set stadium that they built at the former Miami Dolphins. It's all very funny. We got to go down there. We got to take it over. Goes back to this rivalry, folks. If you're new to soccer because you like women's soccer, if you're new to soccer because you're just new to soccer, you're new to Tampa, you're new to soccer, this rivalry goes back to the 70s, the Tampa Bay Rowdies versus the Fort Lauderdale Strikers in the original NASL. And this right now is the only way you're going to get to see Tampa Bay versus Fort Lauderdale play soccer against each other. This is huge. If you haven't been to a Sun game yet, go to a home game. First of all, what are you doing? I'm upset with you. but even if you hadn't, man, get on that bus. Let's go down there. Let's do what we always do, Tampa Bay soccer fans. Let's go down there and take over Fort Lauderdale and leave that place with 3 points.
Yeah, so please do check out the Heat Wave on all the social medias if you're not in the Discord. And just as Tom said, sign up for that so that they know we are passing the information along to the team so that we can coordinate with the team. Mm-hmm. And if the team can get this set up, obviously that will help us get down there all as a group and all in one piece so that we can take over.
Yep. The more people that say they're going, the more likely we are to be able to get down there in a organized and safe manner. So we've got that to look forward to in about a month. But in just a couple hours, we got a game versus DC to look forward to. So let's go, Sun. It's been great to have you, James, and we'll do this again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad that I could help fill in for Liz, and I hope that she's doing better, obviously. And I hope that everyone who is impacted by the hurricane, of course, is doing better. That goes without saying, but we do hope that everyone is doing well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Say bye, Papa.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.